Oh, that was one of the best sprinters we've ever seen. Vane taking out the 1969 Golden Slipper. Dan Malecki has reached into the archives and pulled out that fabulous victory, ridden by Pat Hyland. And that was when it was the truly state v state, Victoria taking on New South Wales, with the New South Wales Sydney champ special girl in the race as well, Dan.
Yeah, oh, look, it was the year that Matt and I were born, so I don't have fond memories of that particular day. In fact, he was already born. I was born a month later.
Was that run in 1985, that slipper with Vane, was it?
But yeah, what a horse, hey. And it's sort of like a previous generation to me. I remember my dad would say, and other people just of the vintage above me, the way that they talked about Vane, you know, like there was no better horse that they'd seen, certainly no better sprinter that they had ever seen. And then, you know, a decade later, you get a horse like Manicato, and obviously that goes through to a Black Caviar. But those two names, Manicato and particularly Vane, will pop up every time you mention a great Australian horse, particularly great Australian sprinter.
I remember the day Hariba smashed everything up the straight, and there's nothing that could have beaten him. Jack Elliott turned up at the races for the first time in 50 years. Old, grumpy old legendary Jack Elliott, the racing scribe, and I was a young buck, and I was in the mounting gown, and I said, I don't think Vane would have beaten Hariba today. And he just growled at me, oh, what would you know? Vane was a rah, rah, rah. So, I think they were very defensive of Vane, the old school, about how good he was, and nothing that came along was ever going to get near him. Maybe if Jack had been alive when Black Caviar was around, he might have had half a second thought about it. But no, he was, like all of them, they thought Vane was the king.
Well, another magical Golden Slipper moment. And our next guest has been involved in some massive Golden Slipper moments, because part of the FBI, four winners back in the 90s, from 93 through to 96, Mintmask K, Dan Zero, Flying Spur, Moulin, and today Richard Freeman and his brother Michael have the chance to write their own names into the record books with two chances in the slipper, including one of the favourites, Stay Inside. And Richard joins us this morning. Good morning, Rich.
Morning, Michael. Morning, boys.
Morning, Rich.
Just looking back on those four slippers in a row, were you on track for all of them, Richard?
I can't remember. I don't think all of them, because often there was a pretty decent race day on in Victoria, and I would stay back for that one. I can remember being there for Merlin, and I can remember being there, I think, for Dan Zero, but I can't remember if I was there for the others.
Flying Spur's the one where I reckon either you or Anthony had your fingerprints all over the coup that year. What was the... There was a great story with Flying Spur about a last-minute decision, wasn't there, to get him into the race?
Yeah, well, we ran him in the sires and he'd been beaten, and we're a bit disappointed about that, so we put him in the paddock. That was a Victorian sire, and because it was run before the slipper. And then we sort of all sat around and said, "This slipper looks a bit weak. Better get him back in." So we pulled him in out of the paddock and gave him a couple of weeks' work, and I think we gave him a trial and sent him up to Sydney, and he duly won.
And that weak slipper, he beat Octagonal.
Yeah, one of those weak slippers that was just bristling with champions. But there you go.
Well, you were in the zone then, weren't you? Because that was your third slipper when Flying Spur won. And I'm looking at the feature races today, Rich. And look, what about these superstars? Renvet Stakes, Superimposed won at 91. George Ryder, just think about this. Scalacci won a George Ryder at 1,500. Mm. He also won the Galaxy. And, of course, Naturalism won a Rose Hill Guinea. So they're not just great memories. They're three of the best horses of the Australian turf that I've just mentioned, let alone the four Golden Slipper winners.
Yeah, they were great days. We probably didn't realise how great they were at the time, because the sad thing about training racehorses is as soon as one crosses the line, people are asking you about the next one, and you're worried about that horse's next start, and you don't really take the time to look at it and think, wow, that's pretty stunning. This might never happen again. And sure enough, it does steady up.
I don't reckon there's ever been a high as your high with the FBI through that period. And I remember Kavanagh had a mad spree as well for a lot of years as well. But it was a severe peak for him, as it turned out. But it wasn't quite that way for the Freemans, because there was a few peaks along the way. But when you do look back, was it did you, as you said, did you just not realise how hot you guys were at the time?
No, I don't think we did. I don't think it was, you know, we liked the winning and we liked the celebrating the winning, but we never sort of looked at it as a moment in history or anything like that. It's just, I guess when you're in your, you know, I think we were in our, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and I just don't think you soak that sort of thing up.
Well, 92, Richard, you won the three spring majors with three different horses, which is just quite remarkable, as well as in 93 bit Mars case. So you didn't get the calendar year of the four majors, but it was bloody good.
We got them in the same season.
Yeah.
And for most of the time, barely tolerating each other.
Well, that's gone on for 50 years.
Every time I ask a Freedman what another Freedman's doing these days, I say, how would I know? So, anyway. Hey, but
is it true that Merlin, last one on it, is it true, Merlin, you got a lifetime supply of beer? Because I think I remember seeing a truck of Tui's on the inside if you could make it four in a row.
Yes, theoretically. Tui certainly promised it and had their big truck out there and, you know, everyone had to go out and climb on the truck after Merlin won the slipper, you know, beer for life. I think it lasted about 3 years before they stopped.
Well, they didn't realise how heavily you drank.
Well, we were only getting what we thought was a very paltry amount of beer, and yet obviously that was too much for them too. So I don't know what... I think we about 2 years after it stopped the first time, we said, you know, knocked on their... gave them a call and said, hey, where's our beer? And it started up again for 6 months, and then it stopped again, and by that time we couldn't be bothered.
Well, by that time you'd moved on to Pinot Grigio, so...
Well, we were swapping it for that anyway.
Yes. Hey, I know, obviously, there's a rich slipper history, but to have runners in a golden slipper is still a very difficult exercise, and now it's you and Michael, who you do talk to each other. You got the two runners in today. Is it even before the race is run, is there a sense of job done, getting a two-year-old into this race?
I guess to a degree, but, you know, that'll soon be forgotten if they don't, you know, perform. Michael's had most of the two-year-olds at Randwick, and he's certainly got these two horses there, so he's done a really good job with them over there. I think Randwick is a good place to train two-year-olds for a variety of reasons we won't go into, but he's done a good job to get them there. We're very satisfied that two horses that we're involved in the purchase of as yearlings have made it to the slipper. One was with James Harron, of course, with Glistening, and the other was us just specking Stay Inside. And to get those two horses through with still a lot of money spent on them, but by others' standards might not be so much. I think Stay Inside was $200,000 and Glistening was low 200s, 230, 240, something like that. So, very satisfying.
And, of course, the Freedman connection doesn't end there. I don't know how you're going to feel if Artorias just sticks its nose out in front of Stay Inside in the last 50 metres. But even for Anthony and Sam, they've had a fantastic run. To get another slipper, I mean, it must be pretty special for Anthony as well to have a runner today.
Oh, I'm sure it is. He bought that horse as a yearling as well. I think that gives us more joy than anything is to be able to pick the yearlings out. I mean, that's the thing that's kept the whole family afloat for decades now, is that ability to go to a yearling sale and come home with Group 1 horses. And, you know, not everybody can do it, and we're very grateful that we can. And, you know, I'm sure Anthony and Sam will be pleased as punch. And, you know what, it'll be mixed feelings for us, not winning, but I figure it this way. If a Freedman wins a slipper, it's probably good for all of us.
Probably. And Sam will be smiling on the outside, and Anthony, back on the couch, will be smiling on the inside. So that's how he'll celebrate it. What about your, obviously, Stay Inside as the punters elect and Glistening not as much? What do you make of your two contenders?
Well, I think Stay Inside's done nothing wrong. And he has one on a track, a soft seven track, which is what they'll put up today. It might be a little better than that by the time the race comes along. But I think... he deserves his place short in the market, Glistening. I think you'll see a pretty good performance from her. She's on the improve, and we think she's improved again since winning the Riesling, which, of course, on paper she would need to, but we think she has. And, you know, I'll be surprised if she doesn't put in a really good effort too.
Well, speaking of improving, I don't think I've heard Tommy Berry as confident pre-race for a major as what he's been speaking about staying side this week. We know he was stiff in the Todman. Has he continued to improve? Has he gone to another level?
Who, Tommy?
Well, he sounds like he has.
Just ask him. Tommy worked in before the abandoned slipper meeting or the postponed slipper meeting, and he said, well, his work was really good. Didn't blow my hair back, but it was very good. And we sort of went, oh, okay, well, as long as he's done the work and he's okay. And when they postponed the slipper, Tommy rode him again on Tuesday morning, last Tuesday, and he got off and said, that did blow my hair back. He said, that was super work. And Tommy is one of the rare commodities. He's a jockey who's a very good judge of track work. He actually can tell you when one can win. So we're hoping that holds true.
Absolutely. How's the track going to play, Rich? You're on the spot there, and we've been sort of harassing you for the last 10 days about the weather. Obviously, last week came and went, and the weather changed about midweek. What are your expectations of how Rose Hill might play today?
It's a really difficult question to answer because Rose Hill is I think, the least predictable of all the major tracks in Sydney. Sometimes they start sweeping down the middle of the track, and other times, on soft going, it can be hard to make ground. We just had a weather event that's, you know, once in 100 years, and I'd love to be able to answer that question, but I don't think you'll get any idea of that until we've run 4 or 5 races on it.
Well, it could be a huge day for the Freedmans once again. Rich, on the lead? It's the extreme outsider in the first, any chance?
Well, he's an improving horse, and he will like the track soft. He does prefer the track soft. If he jumps away with the field, he'll put himself right in the race. He's a talented horse, but he's a little tardy at the start. Gets him in trouble.
Good luck today, Richard.
Pleasure. Thanks, guys.